Blog Talk Radio.
All praise and wonderful name of the Lord. Hello, everyone, and welcome, welcome to Bible study with Brother Ricky and friends on today, right here on BTR. All right, we are going to check in and see if Brother Ricky is ready along with his group of Bible studies. Hallelujah from the Lifeline. And there, in the meantime, while we're checking, let's hear a good favorite song from one of our favorite artists. Yes.
Those of you here in our radio audience, yes, we're waiting for Brother Ricky to host his Bible study, or one of the other hosts that will be going forth today. We're just waiting on them to come. In the meantime, welcome. This is the Lifeline. NPA, carrying the sound of this. Thank you.
Bless the Lord.
Bless him. Bless him. Well, good folks, sound like
bless
I hear Brother Ricky. That's Brother Ricky. All right. Well, Brother Ricky, we're on NPA Live, and everybody's been waiting
okay.
on you. All right. So, good
all
folks,
right.
we're now going to turn this microphone over to Brother Ricky. God bless you, Brother Ricky. The mic is yours.
God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. That is Hagen. Give God praise for you. Good to hear your voice this morning. Amen. Just so glad to be here. And everyone on the radio land and Facebook and whatever live you're on, if you're on a Lifeline Live, we thank God for you too. Every heart, everyone, is just so good to be here. I hope you're just excited as I am. I am so excited. Amen. Praise God in the Lord and all that God is doing. Amen. Praise God. One thing I don't want to do is miss what God has for me in this season. Amen. Praise God. I don't want to miss it. Praise God. I want to receive, amen, all that the Lord has for me. And I give him praise. Amen. Praise God. And I count it a blessing to be in the Lord. I count it a blessing, amen, to be in fellowship. Amen. Praise God. It's just a beautiful thing. Amen. Praise God to, amen, have the Lord on our side. Amen. I am grateful to God for all that he is doing. God is so faithful. He's faithful to his word. Amen. He's faithful to his people. Amen. He promised never to leave nor forsake us. God is faithful. Amen. Praise God. I am so grateful to, amen, to serve a faithful God. Amen. Praise God. Even when we're not faithful, God is faithful. Ain't that amazing? Amen. I tell you, God is awesome. Amen. Praise God. I am so glad that he is who he say he is. Praise God. I tell you, amen. And who wouldn't serve a God like that? Amen. Praise God. The one that loves us in spite of. Amen. Praise God. Not because of, but in spite of, God loves us. Don't you thank him for his grace? We ought to give God praise for his mercy. Amen. Praise God. Give God praise, amen, for his kindness, his long-suffering, most definitely, because the fact that God, as the Bible says, he is not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. Let me tell you something. When we were born, nobody thought about being saved. Amen. Giving their life to the Lord. Praise God. Amen. We had some experiences in our day. Amen. In our time, we had some experiences, and some came to the Lord early as Evangelist Hagen, but some came late as I did. Amen. But thank the Lord. He's long-suffering. The Bible says not willing that any would perish, but all come to repentance. Don't you give God praise, amen, that God gave you time. You had time, amen, to repent. He gave you space to repent, space to look to him and turn from your wicked ways. Amen. I am so glad that we serve a God like that. It didn't matter the age that you are, because that's how some people look at it, praise God, from their own perception. Well, I'm a little bit up in age now, and I've done all that I can do, and it doesn't make sense now for me to surrender to God. But guess what? There is room for you. God is still saving today. His word never fails. He said, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot nor tittle of his word shall depart. Praise God. So that means that if you are yet alive, amen, praise God, and you don't have Christ in your life, this is the time. Now is the time, praise God, amen, to surrender to God. Now is the time to give your life to the Lord. Amen, praise God, yes. Amen, amen. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, but God commended his love to us that while we were sinners, he died. That means, amen, while we were still, amen, in our mess, praise God. Amen, praise God. God, amen, praise God, sent his son to die. Amen, praise God. To be the propitiation, amen, for sin. He was the ultimate sacrifice. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. And I'm telling you, praise God, he has made a way for you and I today. Amen, praise God. And the Bible lets us know that whosoever, amen, shall call upon the name of the Lord, Romans, amen, 10 and 13. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Go back up to Romans 10 and 8, he says, what saith the scripture? It is nigh thee in our heart and in our mouth. He said that is the word of faith in which we speak, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. It is just that easy, praise God, to call on his name. Amen. To surrender to God. Lord, I surrender. Lord, here I am. Oh, God, forgive me of all my sin, all that I have ever done. Lord God, I don't feel worthy, but God. You said in your word, hallelujah, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that you raised your son from the dead, we shall be saved. Lord, I believe and I accept your son Jesus in my life. I believe that he died for my sin. I believe that he rose again on the third day. I believe according to your word that I am saved today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. And you can cancel the enemy's plan. You can cancel, amen, praise God, your submission to the enemy. Praise God, devil, you is alive. You don't have no more rule over me. You will not hinder me. You will not stop me nor block me. I serve Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. I confess it today. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, it is just that simple to surrender to God. Amen. Praise God. I am telling you, oh, bless the name of Jesus. I tell you, I feel all, amen, all excited, all over again. Amen. Praise God. Like the Lord has did it for me. Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you, God, hallelujah. Amen. His word is true. God is faithful, and he will do just what he said. He will do just what he said, praise God, and I'm grateful to the Lord. I am so glad. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord God, for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and that with fire. Thank you for your direction and your help, amen, your guidance, amen. Thank you, Lord God. I submit to you, amen, and we have to do this daily, y'all. We have to do this daily, deny self. Amen. Praise God. Surrender to God. Submit yourselves unto him.
Donya.
Even the Bible says to submit yourselves to God. He said, resist the devil and he will flee. We have to learn to submit. Amen. To the Lord. Praise God. Amen. And let the Lord take control. Amen. Praise God. King Solomon said in Proverbs, amen, 3:5-6, he said to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. See, when we give our life to God, amen, it is important to trust in him with all your heart. Don't just give your life for that moment, amen, because you heard the word and it did something to you, praise God. But give up your life totally, wholeheartedly, praise God. And when you surrender wholeheartedly, that means I'm going to trust in you now. Amen, I'm trusting in the Lord, our Savior, praise God. And he's going to do the ruling. He's going to do the saving. He's going to do the helping and whatever else, amen, the conquering in my life. He's going to give me direction. He's going to give me the strength I need. God pours all of these things, amen, into me, praise God, amen, as I submit unto the Lord. Amen, praise God. Amen. So I give God the praise. Amen for that. Yes, I got your message, my sister. I ain't forgot about you, but I'm just talking in this morning. Praise God. I just give God the praise. Anybody feel like giving God praise? Anybody feel like talking this morning? Amen. Praise God. If the Lord has been good to you, then you ought to run and tell that. Praise God. You ought to tell somebody of his goodness. Praise God. And I tell you, I don't mind. I'm one of them big mouth. I'm one of them. I can't shut my mouth. Ricky talk too much. You better believe it. Amen. Because I said a lot back in when I was unsaved. I said a lot when I was in them streets. I said a lot when I was rapping. I said a whole lot, praise God. I was running my mouth in school. I got in trouble for running my mouth. I'm telling you, praise God. Folks tell me you need to shut up sometimes. Amen. I used to, amen, talk up a storm. How I'm going to get saved and now I want to shut up? How I'm going to get saved and don't want to say nothing no more? The devil is a liar. I'm going to run my mouth in the force. Tell me to shut up. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to keep on talking. But we give God praise. We're excited. Amen. And the Lord, praise God. We give God praise. We're thankful to everyone that's here. Good morning to you. We welcome you to our Bible study. We're going to open up in prayer. Amen. Then we're going to soon turn over to the hands, amen, of our dear sister, praise God, who is definitely faithful on the line. She's excited, and I believe she is ready to grace the line, amen, with God's word. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give thanks unto you. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love, your kindness. Thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing us this opportunity, this time, this moment, oh God, to share, to be in fellowship. You said in your word, and we walk in the light. As you is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sin. We are thankful, oh God, that we are in fellowship today. And Lord, you said also when there are two or three agreeing in your name, you're in the midst. Thank you for being in our midst. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you, oh God, for what you are doing in the name of Jesus. Let your will be done. Bless every heart. Don't let us leave this line the same. Oh, God, but do something new. Hallelujah. In our life today. Oh, my God. Like only you can do it in the name of Jesus. God, and we receive all that you have for us on today. See it. in the name of Jesus. Bless everyone, oh God, that is visiting today for the first time. God, move upon their life in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, have your way. Bless our visionaries. Remember them, Father. Oh, my God, who has followed and answered the call. Oh, God, follow the vision. Oh, God, hallelujah. Thank you for the direction that you've given them and how you're leading them. Oh, God, bless them, oh, God, like only you can. Pastor William, Lady Hagen, thank you for my pastor, Bishop Hagen. Bless Prophet Gamble, who's always listening in and, oh, God, always have something to say. Bless Pastor Jay. Oh, God, every minister of the gospel, Father, male and female, bless them, oh, God. Oh, God, and we give you praise. We give you thanks for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Bless the Lord once again. Amen. We're going to open up the lines at this time. Is anybody on the line? Want to make themselves known, if you just want to say good morning, amen, praise God, we're going to open the lines to you at this time. The line is open.
Great morning, great morning, great morning.
Good morning to you, Sister Natalie. We give God praise, always a blessing, amen, to hear your voice. Thank you so much for responding. Amen. Anyone else? Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Ricky. Good morning.
Good morning. This is...
Go ahead.
Good morning. Good. It's all right. I heard Sister Angie. Good morning. Who else is on there? Come on with it.
Morning. This is Brother Troy. It's been a long time. Finally got on.
All right. All right, Brother Troy. Bless the Lord. God bless you, my brother.
Amen.
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 Hey, Bishop, we have been praying for you. That's right. I even heard Lady Hagen calling your name out in prayer. Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. God bless y'all, man. I'm glad to be on the line. I'm telling you.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, my brother. Thank you so much. It's good to hear the brothers on the line. I'm telling you, we got some faithful sisters, faithful mothers on the line that are there always. But thank God to hear our men, our brethren. Come on. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Anyone else? Good morning. Anyone else? Good morning. All right. Well, bless the Lord. We gave you time. We gave you time. Amen. Praise God. Maybe you say, I couldn't get it off mute. If you get it off mute in time before I finish, interrupt me and say, brother, hey, 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 let me know you want to say good morning. If not, we're going to carry on for all those that are listening in. And we know there's a number of y'all on the line, but that's all right. It's okay. It ain't mandatory that you speak on the line. Amen. But we're glad that you're here. Amen. Praise God. For you that are on mute, you may be on your job. You may be just listening in. You may not be in place to say something at the moment. But, amen, I want to help you out today. I want to help you out today, praise God. Yes, I'm going to speak for you, every one of you that are on mute. Good morning, Lifeline family. And the Lifeline family say unto you, good morning to you. We're so glad to have you. Thank you so much for your time. Amen, praise God. And without further ado, we're going to go ahead and turn it over to the hands of our dear sister. Amen, who loved the Lord. I tell you, I would never forget that one saying she always say when she either praying or talking. So we got to help each one another. Amen. Nobody can sister. I do. Amen. So let's bless the Lord and receive the angels. I do on this morning into your hands, my sister.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Brother Ricky, thank you so much. Amen. Do we have any guests on the line? Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. Your brother, George S. is on the line.
Okay, Zozo, good morning, Zozo. This is my brother, always from New York. God bless you, Zozo. Any other guests? I know Sonia is on the line, but she's on mute because she's working. Good morning, Sonia, to you. Sister Natalie, good morning. Brother George is on the line. Our Brother Ricky, your friend, your brother, Brother George, last week is on the line.
Bless the Lord. Good morning,
yes,
to you, brother. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, he's listening. He texts me. And Wes is on the line. God bless you. Is anyone else on the line? Any other guests on the line? Okay. Anyway, good morning to everybody. God bless you. God bless you this morning. Okay, this is a beautiful week, a beautiful day that God gave us.
and let us use it, amen, effectively. If you have any noise on your background, please just put your phone on mute, okay? And if you have any question, any comment, while I am speaking, you can just stop me. Sister Angie, can I say something? And just intervene, interfere, all right? It's a Bible study. We like to debate. We like to ask questions and add your comments. But we have to make sure that it's Bible-based. And the man of God says something, too. If you share your personal opinion, if we share our personal opinion, let's be specific. This is my personal opinion. This is not from the Bible. So no one would take a personal opinion as coming from, you know, the Word of God. We don't want to be confused. That's the instruction that was given to us last week. So God bless you, and may God give us a way to hear, you know, his word this morning. Father God, we give you praise. We give you honor. We elevate your name. We elevate your name this morning, Father God. We exalt your holy name, Father, this morning. Father, we want you to speak to us today. We want you to speak to our heart. We are tired of listening, hearing, and not practicing your word. So, Father, this morning, I pray that you would break something in us that will allow us to receive your message, Father God, and not just listen the message, but we want to take a decision. We want to take a step, Father God. So anything that is hindering our understanding, Father God, we want you to remove it today in the name of Jesus. And Father, I'm presenting myself to you as a vessel that you are about to use this morning again, Father God. Humble me. Humble me, Father God. Remove me totally. And you speak. You speak. You speak. You speak. You speak. You speak, Father God. Not Angie, I do. It's not about my knowledge. It's not about my understanding. It's not about my intellect, but it's all about you. So, Father, I give you all praise, all glory. In the name of Jesus, have your way. And Father, apply the blood of Jesus on each one of us today, Father God, and give us divine understanding. In the name of Jesus, amen. I heard someone's conversation. I guess you are at work. I can hear you. So please put your phone on mute, and I recognize the voice. That's my brother, George, all the way from Connecticut. I love you, my brother. All right.
I love you too much because I didn't know it wasn't. I saw it wasn't.
It's
sorry.
Okay. We caught you. It's okay. No problem. All right. God bless you. I asked God to show me. When Brother Ricky told me to get ready to bring something, I started looking for something since Wednesday. I didn't get it. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I've been asking God, show me something. And he brought something to my spirit. So during the study, I will share with you how I came to that. So this morning's study is in the book of Acts 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. I'm not going to say 33, but I'm just going to stop at the 24. No, probably 24. At the... At 33, yeah, 33, I would say that. And you all know already the story, amen. The title would be Stay Steadfast. And I say to the power of unity, I stay steadfast, amen. So it's about the story. Here, right? Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought a master's much a prophet by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servant of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you to the name, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when the master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrate and said, "These men, being Jewish, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them and the magistrate, and the magistrate tore off the clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into a prison, into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely, having received such a charge, to put them into the inner prison and fasten their feet in the stocks, But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." I will stop right here. I'm not going to read all. I read enough. But I think it's not, I will elaborate on the action that took place, but there is something that God opened my eyes on yesterday, and that was super. I've been reading this. I already taught on this thing, but there is one important detail, a thing that I didn't notice before, but God allowed me to see it this time. Amen. You can read the same thing and go back and discover something else. So I thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the first thing to recognize, of course, is to recognize the false prophet, the false prophecy. And even if she, that woman, if she were, even if the prophet, whatever prophet or prophetess is telling something truthful, examine the prophecy. And this is something that comes from the Bible. Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will always convince you that it is a false prophecy, you know, real one coming from God. You will receive it. And you can check that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, or Matthew 7, 15. Amen. But my main focus is what happened when Paul and Silas were together. Look at this. That is wonderful. It was Paul and Silas, amen, that was doing the work of God. And the woman cried or making noise, right? And Paul got annoyed. Paul turned around, you know, and rebuked the demons. And after there was a problem, both of them got beat up, amen. But guess what? Who took the initiative to speak? It was Paul. It wasn't Paul and Silas, but it was just one person. But because of what Paul has done, Silas got beat up. Silas got beat up. Like when you in a with a group of people, whatever they're doing, if they're stealing, just because you are with them, just because you are associate yourself with them, you get in trouble too. And that's what I see. There was a technical term, you know, in the courthouse, whatever. There's a technical term for that, and I don't master that. But
you're saying now, Suzanne, in the courthouse, it's called the hands of one is the hands of all.
Okay, there you go. Thank you, darling. I appreciate that. So Silas got in trouble too, and both of them got beat up. But now they got beat up, you know, they've been dragged before the multitude of people, their clothes were tore up, and they got beat up. and they put them in prison too. But now, I want you to tell me, because I need all of your participation. I want you to tell me why silence didn't react like it. I'm not the one who talks. It's Paul that talks. I don't deserve to be bitter. Why silence didn't have that kind of reaction? Why silence stayed quiet and allowed the people to beat him up because of what Paul has done? Why silence didn't react or didn't defend himself? Anybody?
I think the line is a question. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I think that's a good question, why silence didn't react or respond or anything like that. Now, one thing I noticed is that the Bible never said that anything, whether he responded or
mm-hmm.
nothing like that. So mm-hmm. to our assumption that he was possibly aware, being with Paul for quite some time, of the opposition that he faced. I'm assuming that he was aware of the things that was to come, and maybe
mm-hmm.
even Paul shared some things with him about, you know, his journey or whatever, or what is to come through the encounter he had with Jesus. So that's my assumption now. That's not what the Word of God said. That's my assumption to what
mm-hmm.
happened,
mm-hmm.
possibly happened. Yeah. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ricky. Anyone else? Why? Paul spoke and they got in trouble. Why Silas didn't react? Why he allowed the people to beat him up too? Because of what Paul has done. Why silence didn't react, you know? It's not me that talk. It's Paul that talk. Paul deserved to be beat up, not me. But I didn't do anything. You know how we do. I didn't do anything. It's her or it's him. Why I have to get beat up for? I didn't do anything. Why silence didn't say a word? Anybody? Okay. All right, Brother Ricky, I'll go with what you say. You know, I didn't find any word, you know, anything in the Bible to tell me, you know, to give me an answer. And I didn't really search in the Bible. But I saw in Silas' reaction, I saw not only the love, but I saw the unity of working together, the unity of working together.
Yeah.
But I saw too maturity, because they know that when you live godly, you will be persecuted. So they were expecting, anywhere they go, they were expecting the unexpected. They know the life of Christ, how Christ was persecuted. They know that they are not greater than the master. Whatever they have done to the master, it will happen to them. They were prepared for the unexpected, you know. And what I'm going to say again.
I want to say something when you get through.
Yes. And he doesn't have to justify himself. He doesn't have to show that he didn't do anything, because they were working together. So it's not a physical togetherness, you know, but it's a spiritual thing. Amen. I am a brother keeper or my sister keeper, not only when things are well, but if we are doing the will of God and we get in trouble, well, we will be all in trouble. We are doing the work of God. And Paul didn't do a wrong thing. It delivered the woman that the devil, the enemy, is using toward the work of God. So, hey, Paul was moving in spirit. Why I would separate myself now that we are in trouble? Oh, no. The love of God, the love that they do have for God was so strong that they were ready to go through anything for the sake of God. They were ready to go through anything for the sake of Jesus. If we have to get beat up, we will be beat up, but we're in together. They were together, not only physically, but in spirit. Before I go any further, Brother Ricky, go ahead.
All right. Thank you once again. And I just want to, you know, just look over at as though it was me and someone else that was out witnessing. And you know, I believe no doubt that Silas and Paul were conversating, and they were doing the work of the Lord, no doubt, although the scripture emphasized on Paul. You know, I believe that no doubt that Silas possibly had something to do with it as well. He had something to say as well concerning that matter. I wouldn't be surprised that the both of them were rebuking her, casting that spirit out.
Yeah.
Amen, praise God. I just wouldn't be surprised that that was the case, because if I'm together with you and I'm praying for someone, I'm going to need your help. I'm going to need you to pray with me, you know, praise God. And then I'm going to need you also to cover me. Amen, so no spirit won't attack me as well. So I believe no doubt that they were working together. But my question is, and don't let me move too fast if I say this, tell me, stop me. But my question is, what can we learn from this illustration?
Okay, you're going too far. Yeah. You're going too far.
Okay, good. That's why I want you to stop. Go ahead.
You're going too far, because that's the lesson that God gave me to bring on the platform. You know, what can we learn? Just like you said, they were working together. But when I read, Paul took the step. Paul made the step to pray for that woman, to deliver that spirit, you know, to cast that spirit out. He took that initiation. He took that initiative. He did it. And, of course, Silas maybe was on the side. I didn't read it. He may be on the side. Father, cover him, whatever he's doing, whatever. But Paul is the one that was vocal when it comes to free that woman. But Silas didn't separate himself when trouble came. He stood right there with his brother. And that's something that we should learn. But that's the lesson that you and I, we will learn today. Because if they didn't stay together, if Silas was complaining and Silas would separate himself, what do you think would have happened? You don't think that, if Silas didn't say, supporting, you know, and going through whatever Paul was going through, the beating or whatever, the insult and the disrespect or whatever, you don't think that Silas would be angry? You don't think Silas would be, have an attitude, I didn't do anything, why I'm getting beat up? I don't like that. I can stand that. Paul, who asked you to talk? Who asked you to open your mouth? Why you did it? We were just walking. We were just, you know, giving flyers away. Look now, we're in trouble. Right there, division would take place. The willing to pray will decrease. It will be arguing. There will be arguing. There will be focus on the pain, or Silas will be focused on the pain, on the blood, you know, on the body. But Silas didn't do that. Silas didn't do that. Paul didn't do that. Amen? So now, I'm going to ask. They didn't allow emotion to take control. They didn't allow feelings to take control. They didn't allow whatever, anything to take control. Their flesh to come on the way. And they stood quiet and allow whatever they're doing to take place. And I'm going to tell you why. But I'm coming to us. What about you and I? Just that Brother Ricky, you was going there. You and your brother are out there. Okay, Brother Ronald, this morning, this is what we're going to do. We're just going to go get flyers. You have a schedule. Everything was organized. We go, we do the flyer. We're going to give the flyer to 30 minutes. You know, we're going to go all over the place. And then after that, you know, we're just going to go and eat. Oh, that's a beautiful day. Okay, no problem, brother. We're going to go give the flyer, and after that, we go eat. Now, maybe you didn't have knowledge about how the Spirit of God moves, but in John chapter 3, verse 8, the wind blows where it is wishing, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So you have a program, you have a schedule, everything is done. We go in, we give the flyers, thank you people, thank you, and we come back home. Then you'll go to that place and you'll start giving flyers. And something out of nowhere, Brother Ricky, you start teaching or preaching. And this lady is in something that she shouldn't be, her entire family or this brother. And, you know, she seems to be very captivated by what you're saying. And the father comes, the mother comes, what happens? And they are so against the doctrine of Christ. They start asking you. They start insulting you, disrespecting you. And here comes the father and the uncle or the brother start, you know, getting physical with you. What would you do? What would you do, Brother Ricky?
Hey, you got to please repeat that again. You know, I had my thought, to be honest with you, on that scripture you just read, the wind bloweth where it listeth, but I cannot tell where it's going. So I was thinking on that when you were saying something, so I'm sorry. Say that again, please. Forgive me,
okay,
and everyone else listening, forgive me.
Okay.
Go
the
ahead.
The story is, put yourself, you and Brother Ronald, in Paul and Silas situation, I take it like this, you know. Y'all took the initiation to go this morning, initiative. This morning we're going to go, you know, give the flyer to the people. When we finish giving the flyer, we give the flyer for 30, 45 minutes, and we go home or we're going to eat something, okay? And then I read a scripture because you don't know what the Spirit would do. You don't know how Spirit will move you, okay? So you'll get to that place and you'll start giving the flyer, and somebody is pretty captivated by the flyer, and you start explaining to her or to him, you know, about Jesus or whatever. But this particular family is involved in something that is totally against Jesus Christ's doctrine. Here the family now. The father come, the uncle come, they don't like it. They're cussing you out, disrespecting you, and two or three brothers start even hitting you physically. So imagine, it's just an example. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. Imagine if we are not at a place, if we are not at a place of maturity, if we don't understand the sacrifice, the pain, the curse, the hurt, you know, that come with it, what will be your reaction? If you are moving in your place, thank you. No, you're telling the truth. And that's the case of a lot of us. You may fight back. Or if you got beat up now, but around them may say, you see, I told you. You talk too much. I told you. You say we just come to give them flyer. Why you did this? No, because of you, I'm going to get beat up too. Brother. No. You know what? The devil is bringing not only division between both of you, but the devil wants you to doubt about God that you are serving. He loves you so much. Why are you going to get beat up? Now he starts bringing even doubt. And if you go back to the book of Genesis, that's what the enemy did even to Eve, trying to make Eve and Adam think that, you know, God don't even have your best interest. God don't want you to know much. God is hiding something from you. He was running his mouth. The devil has, a program, you know. He is so ready to always poison the work of God. When he sees two brothers or sisters, powerful people, working together, this is something that he has to destroy because of the outcome. If they keep doing it, somebody's going to get saved. A family's going to get saved. Somebody's going to deliver. It might be a future prophet. It might be a future evangelist. It might be a powerful brother or sister. It might be a strong prayer warrior that is in captivity. But it will bring division among you and I, so we cannot continue
the work of God. If we don't have the knowledge, if you don't have the maturity, if we don't understand the schemes of the enemy, we will fall for it. And this is what's going on among us, among the church, among the body of Christ. We allow feelings to get on the way, emotion and everything, and instead of continuing to do the work of God, we just stay, we make a decision to stay back and just let our feeling grow, 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 emotion grow, grow, grow. And before you know, there is a strong power of unforgiveness, of jealousy, of envy, of anger. And now, guess what? Someone is dying. We can't even pray for that person. Someone is suffering. But we are so caught up in our attitude, in our emotion, we can't even make a move. Any question before I know any further?
Yeah, you said the wind blows. You coming from St. John's and third shelter in your head. And just... the wind blows where it lifts and can't stop. These fine dust about to be born out of the spirit and out of the water. And
John,
that's where you coming from, St. John's and third chapter.
John chapter 3, verse 8. John chapter 3, verse 8. Anyone, any question, any comment before I go any further? All right.
Amen. I'll say something. I'd be trying to be quiet, but I get excited about the word of God. But I thank God for that illustration and that thought. You know, it just gives us an ideal, you know, praise God, for those that do, you know, go out there and witness and things to be aware of. So I thank God for what you're saying, and I pray that people are definitely really listening and grabbing a hold of what you're saying. So thank you for even sharing that. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. Amen. Satan, the enemy loves disharmony. He likes division. He likes confusion. He likes conflict. Because if we stay together, we have so much power, so we need to bring division. Anytime those things are about to happen, anytime we see the enemy trick operating, we have to take a position. He doesn't need a bigger portal. He doesn't need a gate. He just needs a crack, and he will use it. If I am the weak vessel at that time, and I'm moving in feelings, I'm the one the enemy will use to bring, you know, discomfort, to bring division. If you are the one, you might be the one that he will use. And if I am in a better position to see, to discern the spirit, amen, I should take action instead of allowing the situation to affect me. God have mercy. I pray that God will have mercy upon our life, because we've been losing so many people out there. So many people are dying. People are not receiving their salvation. People are not receiving healing and transformation because of our feelings, our attitude, our emotion, because we are moving carnally, because we are not moving in spirit. We are on little things, and we make it big. We maximize issues that come from the enemy instead of, you know, standing strong and firm and, you know, and stay focused on what God is doing. We have allowed the enemy to take us from our son God. Then we start looking around. Who is she talking to? Who is he talking to? Why am I in trouble? Why is he acting like this? Why is he not responding? I don't like his attitude. Look what they're doing. We are here walking from God, walking for God. And you're moving in the flesh. Now look what happened. Paul and Silas, that were a great example for me. And they exposed my issue. And I hope today you could be exposed too. So you can go and check. You can go and repent and make a better decision, because I have been exposed. Amen. This is why we have to understand the trick of the enemy and allow the Spirit of God to guide us, to conduct us, to supervise us. Amen. Look around the power of unity, the love, the power of staying, you know, fixed and unmovable. Paul and Silas stood together in that prison. They were bleeding. They were humiliated. They didn't do anything wrong. But delivering that woman, it's a law. But in the pain, how come those people find power, strength to sing to God? They start singing. They start singing. How great is our God? They start singing. You are Alpha and Omega. They start singing. They didn't even clapping their hands. I will worship my God. And they were clapping their hands. They were just rejoicing. And they were praying. Father God, I give you praise. I give you honor. There is no other God but you. Your name is above all names. I worship you. In the pain, Father God, we will never stop worshiping you. We will never stop, you know, serving you. We will never, never stop
worshiping
your name.
Sister Angie, you know what? We got to come together and be on one accord. That's how God works. You know, be in.
Yes.
The,
yes.
You're right about
yes,
that. You got to come together.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. So Paul and Silas was praising, and they were. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the beautiful thing is, prisoners were listening to them. You know how sometimes you start doing things, you know, and you see the reaction. Oh, be quiet. Oh, be quiet. No, they were listening. The songs and the prayers were ministered, you know, were ministering to the prisoners. In the pain, could you imagine Agabita? I'm in pain, but I'm not focused on the pain. I'm not focused on the blood. I'm not focused on the hurt, the humiliation, but I am singing in the pain. I am praising in the pain. I am worshiping in the pain. The love of God is so strong, filled. I am so filled, you know, with the love of God. I am so focused on God. I am so attached to him. I have that passion for him that whatever is going around me, I don't have time for it. You want to beat me up for God? You go ahead and do it. You want to disrespect me from God? You go and do it. It's between God and you, because guess what? I will not fight back, because God is the one that fights for me. The word of God said in 2 Chronicles 2:15, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God. So whatever is happening, I keep my eyes on God, because guess what? I got my eyes on the prize. None of the things that is happening now, none of the things that are happening now, but I have my eyes at the final destination. I'm visualizing myself before the throne of God, dancing, worshiping. I'm visualizing myself with my brothers and sisters, amen, with our crown. So whatever is going on this earth is not important anymore. If this is what I have to go through to get there, then let it be. Your love of God is so strong, so powerful. You are so in love with God that getting beat up, for you, you would take it like, oh, I am honored to be so mistreated because I love God. I am honored to be rejected because of the love of God. I am honored to be disrespected because of the love of God. We are honored. We are so blessed that we are the one getting beat up for such a powerful God. But the lesson is to see the scheme of the enemy. How the enemy says that woman was trying to bring division between Paul and Silas. But they stood together and they are praying together. Silas didn't take the initiative to say anything. But because of what Paul did, he got beat up. He didn't separate himself from Paul. He didn't doubt about Paul. He didn't disrespect now is standing with Paul at midnight and praying and worshiping and praising. People of God, we need to learn something. Because of the prayer, because of the obedience, they were praying, an earthquake went all the way to the foundation of the praises. That's powerful right there. The foundation of curse. We don't know who was in prison. Maybe people with different curses, different disease, different issue, whatever. But guess what? That prayer, that worship, whatever they did that day, that night, shook God's heart. And earthquake came. It went all the way to the foundation. The foundation of curse got uprooted. Foundation of whatever disease, spiritual disease or physical disease, whatever happened, something come out. Attitude, foundation of attitude come out. Unsuccessful ministry. I don't know if a minister was in, I'm just speaking. If a minister was in, you know, because of the ministry wasn't working, he started doing things and he found himself in prison. I'm just, you know, trying to bring it to our reality. The foundation of any sort of abuse, you know, I don't know your background. I don't know your life, your family story, you know, that you've been abused by someone way back, you know, and then now you're abusing people. And maybe because of that, you're in prison. But that day, that foundation, amen, came out. Foundation of financial poverty, foundation of mental illness, foundation of pride, foundation of unbalanced social life, foundation of insecurity, foundation of any sort of addiction, sexual, drug, alcohol, amen. Whatever those prisoners were going through, the chains got broken. The chains come off because that earthquake went all the way to the foundation of the prison. The root cause of the situation got broken and deliverance took place. And I'm not going to get in all the details. The thing I'm trying to let you know is two things. The unity, the power of things, focus on the things of God. Amen. And to recognize the enemy's game. Who gave his life to Christ in that situation? The jailer. The one that attached the feet to them, won't move. The one that put them in the inner prison, a little bit further in prison, so they won't come out. He got delivered. He got not only delivered, because when he saw what happened to him, he kneeled down. He brought him to his house to clean them, and his entire family gave his life to Christ. His entire family. Amen. His entire family. So this is, and
awesome.
I have another question. Yeah, I have another question, Brother Ricky. I have an important question. Why?
Yes.
Why, and please, I know you are listening, just participate. I'm just encouraging you. If you're not, it's all good. But when they were in that prison, when they got beat up or whatever, why they didn't go straight on warfare? Father God, in the name of Jesus, you stand the fire to destroy whatever is happening. Why they didn't go on warfare to attack the enemy? Why they didn't go on warfare fighting it? I've got to send angels to do this and that. Why they didn't do it? Anyone on this line would like to tell me why? Because we have the tendency to jump on warfare when we face a situation. Why they didn't go on warfare?
Why then didn't want warfare?
Mm-hmm.
That is a tough question. It's because, number one, those people didn't know who God is. They don't have a relationship. And as Paul and Silas know who God is, they have encounter with God. God delivered them. So I think that they pray, I think, okay, Apostle, because we use that word, think. They pray, And they, I believe they ask God for mercy and ask God to forgive them and ask God to deliver them and save them. So they wasn't praying a warfare prayer like, I think it was in David. David said, do not kill them, but have mercy on them. Mm-hmm. I think they pray for them, for God to save them and deliver them because they didn't know what they were doing.
Amen. Oh, you said they didn't know what they were doing. Oh, you talk about Paul and Silas?
No, so I'm not talking about Paul. No, I'm not talking about Paul. Those who put Paul and Silas in prison.
Okay, so you said
they don't have no fellowship with God. They don't know God. They hear about God, but they don't know him. So Paul and Silas know who God is and the power mm-hmm. of God, that God is a merciful God. And Paul and Silas mm-hmm. want them, you know, to taste and see mm-hmm. that God is good. Saint
okay.
I'm going to pray for God, destroy them like we do today. Destroy
okay.
them, God, destroy them. You know, so okay. ask for mercy.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Denise. Anyone else?
It seems like I think that they didn't want to go on welfare because they understood the power of praising and worship God, what
mm-hmm.
that could bring.
Mm-hmm.
Do what I think. Because they understood what can bring the praise and the worship
mm-hmm.
to God. That can bring deliverance. You don't have to go to welfare for that. See, because they understood
okay.
that.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jojo. God bless you. Anyone else? Why Paul and Silas didn't go on warfare? Didn't attack the enemy? Why? And they start singing instead. Okay. Is anyone can take Second Chronicles, chapter 20.
Yeah. Excuse
verse
me.
20.
Yes,
sir.
George, I just want to answer that question.
Okay. Could,
was somebody else talking?
Brother George.
Okay.
Yeah. Brother George, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, see, I just want to answer that question again. But,
okay. Go ahead.
Just answer now. Yeah, I think I like the answer of my brother who just gave the answer now for the power of the worship.
Mm-hmm.
Because they knew that can open so many doors. And there's nothing impossible when we worship our God. Anything can happen. We believe in the power. And then
mm-hmm.
I think, too, when we go to Romans.
I can't hear you.
Yeah, Brother Joe, we barely can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead.
I can hear that.
Okay. Yeah, I was saying, I like the answer of my brother who just gave about the power of worship. When we
mm-hmm.
worship God, anything is possible. Nothing is impossible. So I think they knew mm-hmm. about our power. And then when we go to Romans 12:19 too, we can see in the Bible, they say, the vengeance is mine. God doesn't want us to revenge. Doesn't want us to take over for any situation. He wants us to give everything in his hand. He's the one who will take care of us. And if we have to avenge everywhere we go, we'll destroy everyone. But God wants us to believe in his power. To believe
Amen.
That he's the one who can do anything that we want. Not ourselves. Not to be our own judge, but to let him be our God and to ask upon us. That's what I think I want to say. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Brother Ricky.
Amen. Let me get off mute here. And,
okay.
I'm going to be honest. I wanted to say something from the beginning, but I said, no. Let me let somebody else say something.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I'm so glad that everybody else had a chance to say it. I was ready. I was on the draw. And I thank God for this lesson once again. I did want to say in answer to your question that you asked, I think what makes a difference is the Holy Spirit that's in their
mm-hmm.
life. There was a time that they did speak and begin to cast out a devil or demon when the spirit of divine nation was upon that woman and they recognized what was going on. I believe it was a spirit that led them and directed them in that time there. And then the time that they were beating, that he put in jail, I believe that the Holy Spirit allowed that, spoke to them, dealt with them, and not to even respond or say anything, just as where you're about to go at in Second Chronicles 20, you know. And I believe, again, that the Holy Spirit is what makes a difference in our life today. And anything that we're involved in or doing, amen, if we're responding or listening to the Holy Spirit, I believe that he'll give us that direction. And we don't have to get upset and just do warfare at times. There are times that we can say things, and there are times that we don't have to say one thing. Amen, praise God, but trust God. Amen. So that's my take on that.
Amen, amen. That was a good one. All of you say something, you know, significant. And I thank God for all the response. The both George is so, and the other George in Connecticut, Sister Denise, Brother Ricky. Thank you to all of you. Anyone would like to say something before Brother Ricky start reading Second Chronicle 20, verse 20 to 22? Because I have discovered, and if I'm wrong, Holy Spirit, correct me, that praising is another form of warfare. And like my brother said,
Brother Robin.
Go ahead, Brother.
Yeah, I was prompted to say something, too, and I was thinking on terms of what the scriptures, I don't know exactly where it's at, you know. The battle is the Lord, not ours. And I think they were, you know, like Brother Ricky was saying, you know, led by the Spirit and stuff, you know, because at the end of the day, God gets all the glory. And that's the terms I was going to come on there. And say, you know,
amen.
God get the glory of it at the end of the day.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Ronald. Thank you, Brother Ronald. The main thing when we do God business is to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. Sometimes we see things and we think that we have to go straight on warfare. When we move by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God will lead us to the right direction. But I want Brother Rick, if you don't mind reading Second Chronicle chapter 20, verse 20 to 22.
Sure, I would love to.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, I would love to. I'll go ahead and read. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." And when they had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambush against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten.
Hallelujah. Did you hear that? When they start praising and singing, God set an ambush to the enemy. Amen. Praise is another form of worship, of warfare. They just have to follow the direction. Praise, that's it. And God did it. God fought the battle for them. So the thing is to allow the Holy Spirit to come back to, you know, to direct us. I have a spiritual father. He was in Haiti, Pastor Opesi. And he was attacked. They have a crusade. And he was attacked. That night he couldn't sleep. They were coming to do something to him. And he was hearing those steps on the roof. He couldn't sleep. This man went on warfare. Father, fire. He did all this. He didn't work. He did everything, any kind, all sort of prayers he didn't want. You know what he started doing? The Holy Spirit taught him. Just start singing. Just praise. And when he started praising, he didn't hear anything. The next day, the person that was walking on the roof to disturb him, whatever they were trying to do to him, that person came as a corpse. It was a dead body. That person died. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened, but that person died because they brought that body to him so he can bring life, you know. He can resurrect that body. But the Holy Spirit told him, don't touch it. Don't even pray for, you know, don't even pray. Let him go. And he was obedient. So pray and do a lot. Amen. Following the lead of the Holy Spirit makes the difference. We will always win. Even if it doesn't look like we are winning, we will always win. Amen. So God bless you. God bless you. Amen. My
And then I said something.
Go ahead.
And Pastor Jones, I want to say this. And he, before I marry him, I was working out there to the crowd of porches. And so he too, my first boyfriend, okay, we were in the project in metal. And then the other boy, he went home. He was a preacher. He said he was going home. I thought he was, but so I got the brother to say, God said to stay to my house in the project by myself. I talked to him. And so I went to work in Pastor John out there working for his wife, for his wife's house. And so I was talking to these people out there. I said, you know what? I thought I was helping them. And I said, you know, I had two brothers staying with, you know, and I wasn't really going with it. I was just afraid. And so, but one of them I was lacking, and the other, he just went and told his brother out, and I didn't make it no water, you know. But anyway, and Pastor Jones, he put me over. He said, Jones, you know, I was going in his name then. And then he was Jones too. And so Pastor Jones put me over. He said, but Jones, he just said, I'm just another Jones. He said, I would let them girls look at you. He walked a dime and ticket. He said, them women look at you like you. And they said they wouldn't do nothing like that. So Pastor Jones put me over. And, you know, and I would tell them, I had went with two brothers. I was just, that was silly. But don't put me over. I thank God that he would work out. And they put me over. He said, some people look at you. They look at you like you. I wouldn't do nothing like that. But that was a long time. So God forgive me, though.
Thank you, Sister Bobby. God bless you. Thank you. Amen.
God bless you, too.
God bless you. Thank you so much. All right. So what I'm saying for you and I is to get to that place of maturity. We will need to be more mature. We will need to remove feelings and emotions and attitude, you know. We need to remove that. Because we are blocking God's divine intervention. The devil knows who you are, mighty warrior, strong prayer person. The devil knows, you know, because he sees you. He sees you praying. He sees you interceding. He sees your prayer life. He is an observer. Do you think if you on the field, you're not a threat for him? You are. Do you think the devil don't know that we are a threat for him? That we are teaching him to do what he wants to do, what he would like to do. He knows that. So what he will do is bring division between you and I. Is bring division in the body of Christ. It separates good prayer warriors, separates us, so we won't be able to do the work that we're supposed to do. That's what it's doing. If we can learn from Paul and Silas, we will understand the trick of the enemy. It started way back. It started a long time ago, but I'm just taking this chapter, this specific story. That with that woman making noise, telling the truth now. What she was saying about him was the truth. If you don't have discernment, you would think that, oh, that's a true prophetess right there. The devil start right there, trying to, you know, seduce them by telling the truth. She was talking, you know, but she was telling the truth. If you don't have the discernment, you will fall for it. Noise, noise. And Paul intervened. When Paul did intervene, they got in trouble. Because of that trouble, if you are not in spirit, you will react. We will react with our flesh, with our emotion. And right there is a space, there is a room, there is a crack for the enemy to bring discord, to bring disharmony, to bring, division. Now, what we're supposed to do, we won't do it anymore. But do you and I know how many lives are waiting for us? Do we know how many souls are waiting for the specific moment to receive Christ? But guess what? Now we're upset now. We can't do anything anymore. We're upset. The one that's supposed to receive a total deliverance, to be free from any form of captivity, that cannot even happen anymore. Because you and I, we didn't stay focused. You and I, we allow pride to take over. You and I, we allow issues and emotional or anger, you know, to take over. You and I, we have people blood on our hands because we didn't stay in spirit, because we didn't move in spirit. There is someone that's supposed to receive Christ, someone that's supposed to receive change. Something was about to happen. We didn't stay focused, and we start fighting. We start fighting, and the devil starts smiling, dancing. I got him right there. That's exactly what I want him to be. They cannot be united because there is no room if they are united. But if they are divided, they won't praise. If they are divided, they won't do warfare. How are they going to preach with anger? They may be good at faking or dancing or speaking in tongues, but it's not real because there is no room for me to operate. So the devil now is taking pleasure. That's where the devil wants us to be, you and I. He wants the church to be at that place. Now you see your brother, you see the brother as an enemy. You see your sister as an enemy. You can stand her. You can stand him. And we are feeding the spirit. We are feeding the enemy. Now everything stops. We do things now in flesh. And we think we're getting someone. We are not getting nowhere. Because we have removed the Holy Spirit. Now we're moving in flesh. And it happened between leaders. They're supposed to work together. Now took place. And it goes both ways now. Thing took place. They are divided. They can't even work together. But do you know how many people are waiting? How many people are waiting for our prayers? How many people are waiting for, you know, for us? How many people are waiting for our word? How many people are waiting for just our hug? How many people are waiting for our testimony? But we are feeding the spirit. We are feeding it. We are feeding it. And the devil, he loves to use the time. Time is something we never take back. And he's just keep doing what he's doing. Digging and keep, you know, reinforcing those spirits. He's going to bring, you know, any form of anger. Then he's going to bring the cauldron of anger, you know, unforgiveness. Then he's going to bring the nephew of unforgiveness, bitterness. I'm telling you, they're going to come from everywhere. Before you know, it's so heavy for you to stand up. It's heavy for you to pray. We're not going to be those people. We will not allow that. No,
allow them, not only on this line, even off this line, in your church, in your assembly, in your congregation, you will not allow them. We can be that kind of people. Amen. So we have to stay focused. The key to remain in spirit, the key to remain steadfast. Amen. Already I read 2 Chronicles 20:15. Do not be afraid. I read that already. In any situation, you and I, we must remain so strong. Any situation happen, please discern what the devil is doing. He's bringing division because there is a work to do. He's bringing confusion because something is about to happen. God is about to glorify himself. He doesn't want us together. We need to understand that. We need to stay united. Amen. God is not the author of confusion. Amen. Remember, it's all about God's ministry. Amen. We have to stand together. Satan tried to stop them through the woman, through the beating, through the prison, through the pain, through the hurt. But they stayed focused. Amen. And they start praising. And they start singing. And salvation took place. The jailer, God delivered. His family, God delivered. Until we are God's friend, we won't understand. Until we have a father and son, a father and daughter relationship with God, we won't understand how to be a child of God. Until we allow God to teach us how to be a parent, we will miss how to parent our children. We won't understand. Until we are married to God, we won't understand the true meaning of marriage and the sacrifices that come with it. We might be good at teaching, quoting verses, but it's time to become the one. It's time to become what we teach. Amen. If they cannot hear us, people, let's put whatever we have been learning, teaching in action. You know why I got this message? God told me to do something Saturday night. From Wednesday, I didn't receive anything until Saturday. He said, you've been teaching, but be the one to show. Be the example. Break those things that you have in you. And he told me to make a step. I couldn't make that step. But I say, they've come by hearing. Hearing from the word of God. I have to be obedient. And when I obeyed, boom, I think God opened my eyes for this one. I never saw that side of the story, that this thing exposed me. And I hope you've been exposed to do better. We cannot continue to be hypocrites. We cannot continue to be fake. I love you, but I don't. We cannot continue like that. I'm doing my part. Better do your part. Because we want to be in his presence on that day. We will be in God's presence. You really want to be there. I want you to be there. And I'm working on mine. Please work on yours. Let's get together and do the work of God. We got so much work to do. God bless you. And I'm going to pray. Amen. I want to say so much, but I don't know where all the things that I would like to say. I don't know where. Oh, let's see. All right. So Father God, I give you praise for all the things that you taught us today, Father. I pray that we will understand the schemes of the enemy miles away. I pray that we will have the discernment, Father God, and stand firm and stay focused on your work. I pray that, Father God, we will be the one to remove all flesh and emotion, Father God, and thought that the devil is trying to use against ourselves.